That is the last book in your Bible. The 66th book, the book of Revelation. Amen. We'll begin a study today. We'll deal with the introduction of the book. I want you to, if you can, probably take some notes. It'll probably help you. Some things that if we time permits, we'll cover today. We'll kind of set a tone for the whole book, and it should help to give you a little more understanding of the book. Revelation is not a very complicated book. People make it out to be complicated. It's like one person said that I read behind. He said, you know, it's not very complicated. It's just maybe hard to believe. That's where people struggle at, is what they just won't believe what's written. They'll try to spiritualize it away, make it say something it doesn't really say. It's not very hard to understand if you'll just believe exactly what God said. And you'll see that as we study through this book. Amen. If anybody would like to read in the mail this morning that say would like to read, we'll read chapter 1. You stand, we'll read the first chapter, and we'll get into the study this morning. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read. Amen. Anybody likes to read? Don't we stop right here with me, Brother Chris? We'll run right through here, brother. You can read, brother, if you want to. Hey, anybody else? Verse number 1. What's the first word? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
To bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Yes. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, is in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last.
Yes. Amen. God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. And the verse chapter is kind of an introduction of itself within the book. It shows you what's going on, who wrote the book. It was John, about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right off the bat, he tells you what this book's about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. It is a prophetic book. It tells us about things that will shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. And John was the one that bare record and spoke these things. I want to read to you this little lengthy introduction that Dr. Ruckman wrote in his study Bible. He kind of gives us a little introduction of the book this morning. Maybe some things you'd want to write down on a fly leaf for your Bible or a piece of notepad to help you remember. The author of Revelation is plainly John the Apostle. We saw this very clear in verse number 1 and in the early part of the first chapter. You can tell that by the style of the writing and by John's reference to himself in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 1:4, he says, John to the seven churches. In verse 9, he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. It's no doubt who wrote the book, the Apostle John. He wrote the book sometime between 91 A.D. and 96 A.D., long after Nero was dead, probably during the reign of Dalmatian. Revelation has 22 chapters. Amen. It'd do you good to read it. By the way, he said this is one of the books that gives a reference in verse number 3. Blessed is he that read it. God said He'll bless you just for reading the book. Yes, amen. Yes, I believe if you want a blessing, then read the book. Yes. Say, I need a blessing, preacher. Well, read the book of Revelation. He said He'll bless you for reading. That's what he said. I believe what God said. Amen. He just read the book. 22 chapters, 404 verses, 11,995 words. Scholars call the book the Apocalypse, which simply is transliterated of the title in Greek, which means Revelation. Revelation is one of the most feared, hated, and misunderstood books in the Bible. The Catholic Church denies that the book is literal and spiritualizes the whole thing in order to be free of the stigma of being associated with the great whore on seven hills in Revelation 17, which is clearly a picture of that harlot, the Catholic institution. And yet the Catholics had to go to the book of Revelation and extract verses 1 through 4 from chapters 12 to prove that that Mary is the Queen of Heaven, which is a joke in itself. The pista threw the book out when it was revised in the 5th century by some buddies of Origen from Caesarea. The church father, Eusebius, wavered in his opinion about the chronology of the book. And the book has been rejected and literally today by all American Christians who are amillennialists or postmillennialists, and we'll look at that in just a minute. The book was accepted by the following fathers. We'll just skip that part. But he says this, the bone of contention with all the members of the UN in the world millennium, Latin, or the millennium, we talk about the millennium reign, the millennial reign. What is the millennial? Millennial simply means mil, which is 1,000, and ilium, a year. It's 1,000 years. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's what's dealt with in the book of Revelation, of course, with the 7-year tribulations prior to the 1,000-year millennial reign. This is a reference to the 1,000 years of peace on earth, which all mankind has been laboring to bring in without Christ. That's the problem with the world today. They're trying to bring in peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no peace without Jesus Christ. The United Nations cannot bring in peace. It doesn't matter how many laws they pass in our Congress, how many laws our President pushes across. Nobody's going to bring peace to this world but the Prince of Peace. Until He reigns on earth in the millennial reign, there'll be no peace on earth. Thank God you can have peace in your heart. How can I have that, preacher? Why, accepting the Prince of Peace as your Savior. Thank God He brings peace. Mankind's laboring to bring it in without Christ ever since the days of Nimrod and Babel. When they built the Tower of Babel, they were trying to make peace on this earth and make their own little self-gods. Thus, the constant and instant hatred which religious leaders, scientists, and politicians have against the book is for an obvious reason. Revelation teaches that the UN, United Nations, and all religions will be destroyed and replaced with a supernatural government prophesied in the Old Testament. That Old Testament prophesied about Jesus Christ, and the book of Revelation shows you that it's going to come to pass and He will rule and reign. It won't be Buddha, it won't be Muhammad, it won't be Hare Krishna, it won't be the Pope. It don't matter what all these religions are pushing in this world, there's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's the Lord Jesus Christ. The sooner this world realizes that, the better off they're going to be. There are three interpretations connected with the book of Revelation. The first, we'll look at these all three in just a minute, is futuristic. This is the correct interpretation of the book. Futuristic just simply means it's talking about the future. The book of Revelation is a futuristic book. The preterist is incorrect, and the historical is half correct. The preterist system teaches that the events described in Revelation were fulfilled before the book was written. That's got to be a joke for somebody to believe that this thing has already been fulfilled. Amen. There's a lot. This book has not been fulfilled. It's yet to be fulfilled, but you mark it down, it will be fulfilled. Just as Jesus Christ came in the first coming that was prophesied, He's prophesied to come in the second coming. He's going to come just like He said He would. When He ascended up in Acts chapter number 1, they said, this same Jesus, amen, not another Jesus that this world preaches, the same Jesus which you've seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. He's coming back. Mark it down, amen. The world better get ready. We better be ready, amen. He can come back today. Amen. You better be ready. The Lord is coming. The preteristic believes that the Antichrist was Nero and the second coming was the fall of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. Amen. Which is a joke. The preteristic are basically amillennials. And we'll look at them in a minute. The historical school fares a little better. Believing that although the book prophesies events in the future, most of the prophecies between Revelations 4 and 19, the chapters, have already been fulfilled in European and American history through to the 19th century. This bunch of Bible perverting heretics would tell you that the falling star in Revelation 9:1 is the Emperor Valens. Mohammed, Neapolitan, or some unknown Christian heretic. It's all a joke what's going on in this world. The world will do anything to try to do away with what this book says. Whether it be the book of Revelation or any of the 65 other books in your Bible. Revelation is one of the plainest books in the Bible, but it is hard to believe. To the believer, the book is a letter from glory, signed by the Father, and delivered by the Holy Ghost. It shows the Christian the biblical consummation of all things. If you want to know what the end is going to be, open the book and read the end of the book. It tells you the end. This thing is the consummation of all things. If it were not for the book of Revelation, you would not know what happens to the devil. Thank God I know what happens to him. I'm looking forward to his day. For certain we know. Though he was prophesied to go to hell in Isaiah 14, he does not wind up in the lake of fire until Revelation 20. God prophesied it way back in Isaiah that he would happen. In Revelation 20, you see it coming to pass. You can find passage after passage in the New Testament about what we will be like when Jesus returns, but you do not actually see what happens until you get to Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the child of God reads his title clear to mansions in the sky and to the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:3. Pledges his faithfulness anew to fulfill every jot and tittle, Matthew 5:18, of the Holy Bible, not just the passages fulfilled at the first event, when the reader is faced with the mammoth load of garbage put out about certain passages in the book by the faculties and Christian colleges, universities, and seminaries, the thing he should keep constant before his mind is Revelation 21:5 and 22:6. Let's read them real quick. Revelation 22, 21. Excuse me, first. 21:5. Keep this constantly in your mind. Revelation 21:5 says this. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Do you know what God is? He's faithful to keep His word. He's going to make all things new. Well, that'll just thrill your heart. The prayer requests we've had about people that are sick today, He's going to make all things new one day. He's going to drive it all the way. Look in chapter 22, verse number 6. He's going to do away with the garbage in this world because God is faithful. Amen. The world might not be faithful, and sometimes we're not faithful, but you can mark down one thing. We serve a God that is faithful. Amen. Revelation 22, 6. And He said unto me, These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servant the things which must shortly, what? Be done. He said in chapter 1, they're going to come to pass. He said they'll be done. God's faithful to keep His word. Now, there's three schools of interpretation. We read briefly over them in this introduction, but I want to give them to you. Number one, there's the school of interpretation which is called amillennialism. Amillennialism. A, which simply means no. It's like the word amen. The word amen. You know what it means? Amen. No, not of men. That's what it simply means. When you say amen, you're praising the Lord, you're saying it's not of man. It didn't come from man, it come from God. Amen. Thank God it's from not from man, but it's from God. Amillennialists is the same way. They believe that there is no 1,000-year reign. That's a lie. You've got to destroy a bunch of Bible to believe an amillennialist belief. Thank God I can gladly say I'm not an amillennialist. If you're one, you're wrong. Amen. There is a 1,000-year millennial reign. Then you have the school of interpretation number two, which is post-millennialism. Post-millennialism. What does that mean? That means that simply is a teaching that Christ will return after the millennium. That means there'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign, then Christ will show up at the end. If you know your Bible, Jesus Christ shows up at the beginning of the millennial reign because there's no peace without Him. There's no comfort without Him. There's no destruction of all wicked things unless He shows up to do it at the second coming. That's why the correct school of interpretation is a premillennialist belief. Someone would say, what are you? Or what are you? Are you an amillennialist? Do you believe in no millennial? Or are you a postmillennialist? They're asking you, do you believe that Jesus will come at the end of the millennial reign? Or are you a premillennialist? Well, if you're going to be correct with the Bible, you're going to be a premillennialist believer. That means you believe that Jesus Christ comes before the millennial reign. Look at this in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Premillennialist. By the way, you should know why you believe what you believe. You should know what you are. What are you? Well, I'm a Christian, number one. You ought to know what you are. Why are you a Christian? I'm a Christian because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, what do you choose to worship? Well, I choose to worship in a Baptist church. Why? Because I believe they're closest to the Scripture. I'm not ashamed of what I am. You shouldn't be ashamed of what you are. I'm a premillennialist. I believe that Jesus Christ will return before the millennial reign. There's no peace without Him. And He's got to come and straighten out this world. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says this, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him, what? 1,000 years. He's going to be bound while the millennial reign is going on earth. Amen. Verse number 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgments was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, that's talking about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and the great tribulation, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. That is that mark in Revelation 13, 18, 6, 6, 6. And they lived and reigned with, you see that? With who? 1,000 years. That's premillennialism. They reign with Christ 1,000 years. You cannot reign with Christ if he shows up at the end of the millennium. Amen? So the correct school of interpretation is a premillennial belief. I'm not an all-millennialist. There's a millennial. There it is in the context. And I know that it's not a post-millennialist belief because he's here when it's going on. Amen? That's the scripture for your belief. And there's many more, but you know, it's just there. The Bible said in verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second part have no, second death, excuse me, have no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This is the first resurrection. What he said, blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection. He that has part in the first resurrection, the second death have no power over him. Listen, what is he talking about, a second death and a first resurrection? Well, the first resurrection has three parts. You have, it's like farming. We got some farmers in here. You know how to farm. When you go out and sow a crop, the first thing that comes off is the gleanings. Not the gleanings, but the first fruits, excuse me. The first thing to come up is the first fruits. After you reap off the first fruits, then you have the main harvest. After the main harvest, you get the gleanings. That's the little bit that's left. That's what he's talking about, is having part in the first resurrection. Jesus Christ was the first fruits. Nobody got up, but he got up. And when he got up, he led captivity captive. He brought the Old Testament saints up out of paradise and took them to glory. That was the first fruits of the resurrection. The second part is the part that we'll be in, which is the rapture of the church. That's the main harvest. Over a 2,000-year span where people's been saved since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, at the rapture of the church, he's going to take the main harvest out. Then there'll be the gleanings. That is the tribulation saints. It'll be saved during that 7-year tribulation. People say, well, nobody's getting saved in the tribulation. You need to read your Bible. There'll be people that don't take the mark. There'll be people that'll be martyred for the cause of Christ. That is the gleanings. And he said, blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection. I'm in the second part. Jesus Christ and the Old Testament saints were in the first part. The tribulation saints will be in the third part. But if you're in either part, you're blessed. Why? Because the second death have no power over you. What's the second death? Well, when you die, they put you in the grave. That's the first death. And if you're lost without God, you go to the devil's hell. But God's going to resurrect you up at the end of the judgment at Revelation chapter number 20. And you're going to stand before God and you'll be cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. You can look over there in Revelation 20. If you would, we'll find it right here. He said in verse number 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the what? Second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. By the way, I don't know if you believe it or not, but it's true. And if you just use a little bit of common sense, it makes a lot of sense. We'll be judged while the tribulation is going on earth. Not to whether we're going into heaven. Got to be ironing out the things out of our life. Be judged of what kind of sort of work we've done. What kind of rewards we'll have in heaven because we're saved. While that tribulation period is going on earth, there'll be people that will follow the Lord. They'll die martyrs, as we said. They won't take the mark of the beast. They're going to be judged. They're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. Contrary to belief to a lot of fundamentalist, King James, independent Bible believers, there'll be people at the great white throne judgment that are saved. There'll be tribulation saints that'll be being judged, and their names will be found written in the book of life. We'll look at that a little bit more detail when we get there. But I thought I'd just throw it out while we were there. So there's the millennial reign. Now, where does the millennial all come from? What is all this 1,000-year millennial reign? Well, it all set up from the way God made things in the beginning. If you remember in Genesis, in the beginning when God made this earth, in 6 days He made it. On the seventh day He what? Rested. That seventh day is a type of the millennial reign. Peter says one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as what? One day. Since the beginning of time, 1,000 year span, God's been working with man. At the 4,000th year, Jesus Christ showed up on the earth and was crucified for our sins. There's been 2,000 years of church history, and we're at the seventh year, which is the seventh millennial reign, rest. You can believe it or not, but that's where we're at. That's how this thing all works out. God has it perfectly put together. So a premillennialist. Now, as we've said in our introduction when we read it, if you're a premillennialist, there is three schools of belief as a premillennialist. We've given to you earlier, there's the preterist, is which believes that the millennial was fulfilled at the 70 AD at the destruction of Jerusalem and under Titus. This is one of those beliefs. It's not true. This book has not been fulfilled yet. The historical. They believe that Revelation is an event of things happening and has been happening since John wrote the book at the beginning of the church age. This thing's not being fulfilled. The only thing that you'll find being fulfilled in type is the type of the churches that he writes about, which shows the history of church. And the church is raptured out in chapter 4, by the way. And we'll look at that in just a moment. The correct interpretation as a premillennialist is a futuristic belief. That is a belief that Revelation is future prophecies that line up with Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. By the way, as we study the book of Revelation, we'll be making plenty of references to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel has a lot of insight that shows you some things with the book of Revelation. Or should we say the book of Revelation uncovers the mysteries of Daniel. Amen. More like we should put it. So, you should be a premillennialist. Shouldn't have any question. You should be a futuristic believer. This book is talking about the future. Then you have another school of interpretation. You live in this world long enough and you get around people, they'll believe about anything. Amen. They'll believe in amillennialism. They'll believe in postmillennialism. They'll believe in the futuristic. They'll believe in the historical. But there are also rapture beliefs. The rapture is when God calls us up out of here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to leave this world one day. It's kind of like that old saying says we're going to leave out like Superman and come back like the Lone Ranger. You see that in the book of Revelation. You see that when he calls us up out of here, we're gone. And when we come back, we're coming back on horses with stallions with him at the great battle of Armageddon. But there's beliefs in rapture. There's a pre-trib belief. There's a mid-trib belief. And there's a post-trib belief. It's kind of like those millennialist beliefs. Shouldn't be any great confusion to you. Pre meaning before. Pre-trib belief means that we're getting out of here before the tribulation starts. Mid-trib means that people believe that you're going to be raptured out during the middle of the tribulation. They believe the church will go partway through and then they'll get out. Then a post-trib believes that they're going to have to go all the way through the tribulation, and then at the end, God's going to get you out. The pre-trib interpretation of the Scriptures is the right interpretation. We're getting out of here before the tribulation starts. Look in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. After he describes the seven churches that we read about just a moment ago in Revelation chapter number 1, he breaks down the churches and shows the ages of mankind. But in Revelation 4, after the churches are described, which leads up to the last church, is the Laodicean church age where we're at today, he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was the voice as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said what? Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must shortly be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he starts to describe the things that he saw up in heaven. Chapter 4, the church is raptured out in the book of Revelation. There's three times in your Bible you'll find the phrase, by the way, come up hither. Amen. Come up hither. You say, why is there three? Remember what I told you earlier about the three parts in the first resurrection? Jesus Christ, the first fruits. You'll find that come up hither in Proverbs. It's over there, amen. You'll find come up hither again. I can't remember. Anybody remember where it is? the end of Revelation. That's the tribulation saints. That's it, brother. And then in chapter 4, which is the church, there's the three parts of the first resurrection. Come up hither. He calls them up. God calls the church out in Revelation 4 never to be seen again except when we come back with Him at the end. Then He starts describing the book of Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter number 1. Here's what I'm going to show you this morning. Revelation 1, look in verse number 19. Revelation 1:19 is a key verse, I believe, to understanding the whole book in a big scope. See, a lot of people, and the reason why they don't understand the book of Revelation is because they think it's written chronological. When you say chronological, that means from beginning to end. Kind of like you say your ABCs in chronological order. A, B, C, D, E, all the way to Z. They think that you read the book of Revelation in chronological events. It's not in chronological events. The book of Revelation goes through the tribulation period four times. That's why you'll read this and then you'll read that and you'll think, man, he keeps going back. I'm confused. Once you understand the layout of the book, it makes it easier to understand. Let me read verse 19 before we go any further. Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast what? That's number one. You see that? Write the things which thou hast seen. Number two. And the things which, what? Are. And the things which shall be, what? Hereafter. There's three things he's talking about. He's telling John to write. And what does he tell him to write first? The things thou hast seen. What have you seen? Now write what are. And then what? Write what's hereafter. Amen? You see that? That's the way you start to understand the book of Revelation. It's written in that kind of way. Now, hold your place here and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. I want to show you this verse. It's going to all make real clear sense in just a moment, I hope. Revelation 10. Oh, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10. Sorry. Verse 32. By the way, this is a very important scripture in understanding how to study your Bible also. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, now don't miss this part, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't divide your Bible up the way it should be divided, you're going to be mixed up. And the book of Revelation is no different. If you don't divide it the way God has divided it, you're going to be confused. But once you see the division in the book, it makes the book a whole lot easier to understand. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Give none offense, you see that? Neither to who? Number one, Jews. Number two, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the what? Church of God. There's the three groups of people in this world. There's Jews, God's chosen people. There's Gentiles, amen, that's people that are not God's chosen people. Then there's the church of God, that is the saved people on this earth, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. Now he says, give none offense to none of them. Neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. Now turn back with me to the book of Revelation. Verse 19 again. So there's three ways that the book is broke down to be able to understand it. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which must be hereafter. Now the things which thou hast seen covers Revelations 2 through 4. The things which thou hast seen. What did he see? God took him up into heaven. Remember when he said, come up hither? Write the things which thou hast seen. And he's talked about what he had seen, which was the church age. This Revelations 2 through 4 is the things which thou hast seen. He saw the church. He saw what God done with the church. He saw the rapture of the church. This is the church of God. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Then you've got the things which are. This covers Revelations 5 through 19. Revelation 5 through 19. That is the great tribulation period. That is Jacob's trouble. That is Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. This is when God's going to pour out hell on this earth. He's going to go back to those Jewish people that rejected their Messiah. They're going to be judged for what they have done. Some of them's going to realize that the Antichrist is not the Messiah. They're going to follow Jesus Christ and wait for Him to come and hide and flee up in the mountains, all those things that He talks about. That's the things which are. The things which he is talking about mainly in this book is the tribulation period. That is to the Jews. He said, give neither offense to who? The Jew, the Gentile, or the church of God. Then you have the things which are hereafter. That's Revelation 20 through 22. That's the consummation of all things. New heaven, new earth. That's the Gentile nations. That's all people, amen. That's what he's going to do. So here's how it's broke down. It's not in a chronological order. There are four accounts of the second coming. Why would God give four accounts of the second coming? Why would he go through the book of Revelation four times in the tribulation through the book of Revelation? Well, it's no different than he did in his first coming, if you remember your Bible. When Jesus Christ showed up in his first coming, there were four accounts about his first coming. You know what they are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wrote four accounts of his first coming. The book of Revelation is no different. When he comes back at his second coming, he's going to write four accounts of his second coming. There's four accounts. Four times through the book of Revelation matches the four accounts of his first coming. And also, by the way, because Revelation is talking about prophecy, there's four major events in the book of Daniel. You got the ten-toed beast. You got the four, the ten-toed image. You got the four beast. You got the ram and the goat. And then you got the Antichrist. Four types. God's got an order, brother. He don't miss nothing. God's got everything. God's not the author of confusion. He's got this thing plainly to be understood. If we would get in it and read it and let it bless our hearts and ask for understanding, God will teach us His book. Look in verse 19 again. Write these things which thou hast seen, the church, which are the tribulation, and which shall be hereafter eternity. Now let me give you this. I know it's time, but I want to give you this. So he goes through the book of Revelation with the tribulation four times. And I'm going to give them to you. You can write them down. What I did in my Bible, I went through the book in my Bible. If you don't want to write in your Bible, that's fine. You do whatever you want to. But I wrote and drew lines where the different times he goes through the book of the tribulation. Here's how it works. You write them down somewhere and you can do what you want to with it. The first time he goes through the tribulation with seal judgments. He starts breaking the seals. And this goes from Revelation 6 to Revelation 8:1. That's the first time he goes through the tribulation. And he goes through it with the breaking of the seals. The seal judgments he throws out on the earth. The second time he goes through the book of the tribulation is through the trumpet judgments. This is in Revelation 8. Revelation 8, verse 2 through chapter 11. Revelation 8, 2 through 11. That's the second time he goes through the tribulation. The first time he goes through it with seal judgments. The second time he goes through it with trumpet judgments. The third time he goes through the book of Revelation, through the tribulation, in the book of Revelation, is Revelation 12 through 14. This is the tribulation through the activities of the Antichrist. He shows you what the Antichrist does during the tribulation. He reveals him for who he really is. So you got Revelation the first time through the seal judgments, chapter 6 through 8, verse 1. Tribulation through the trumpet judgments, chapter 8, verses 2 through chapter 11. You got tribulation through the activities of the Antichrist, chapters 12 through 14. And then you got the tribulation through the vile judgments. This is Revelation 15 through 19. So through Revelation 6 through Revelation 19, he goes through four accounts of the tribulation. And then, of course, 20, 21, 22 is eternal things. And before chapter 6, you have the church dealt with before the rapture. So that's how it's broke down. In between those books, you need to know this. And we'll go over it as we go through it and give it to you. In between those books, you have what's called parenthetical material. Or parenthetical chapters. You say, what in the world does that mean, preacher? Well, that just means that there's chapters that are interjected in between these four accounts in the middle of this flow of teaching that shows you something else. It's kind of like a commercial, if you will. Be the best way to try to explain it. It's like watching a movie and then a commercial will come on and it'll give you something going on. When you're reading those four accounts, within the four accounts of the book of Revelation, going through the tribulation, there's parenthetical chapters where God will just show you something that's not dealing with the seals, not dealing with the judgment, not dealing with the activity of the Antichrist, or not dealing with the vials. It's a parenthetical chapter is what it's called. These are in chapter 7, chapter 10. You'll see some parenthetical material in chapter 12 and chapter 13 also. So now I challenge you. Go back this week before you come back next week, because our time is up, and just read the book of Revelation. Read it with that little bit of insight. Read it with the fact that he's writing in chapters 1, verse 19, about things which thou hast seen, the church age. You'll see it in those first four chapters. The things which are, you'll see the tribulation period. And then within the tribulation period, within chapter 6 through chapter 19, you'll see him going through it four different times. You'll see him deal with the seals. He'll deal with the trumpets. He'll deal with the Antichrist. And then he'll deal with the vile judgments. It's just four times going over. If you could lay those four times over top of each other and intertwine it, you would have all the things that are going on in the book of Tribulation. Kind of like if you took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and you lined them all up together and you'd see all the events going on at the same time. Instead of having, you know, how you'd look in Matthew over here and you'll see something that's going on. Then you'll look in Mark and you have to flip over there to read what the same, but in the light of Matthew or the light of Mark. Instead of it being in the light of Mark or the light of Luke, it's in the light of vials. It's in the light of judgments. The judgments which are trumpets. It's in the seals. It's in the activity of the Antichrist. But if you could lay them down in that order, that's the way it would be. You say, why didn't God write it that way? I don't know, because he's God. You know what? Maybe God wants you to study a little bit. Maybe God wants you to get in the book and trust him to teach you something. Go home and read the book of Revelation in that light and see if just read it in that light before we even begin a study, if it don't shed some light on some things that you thought was confusing. God wrote it that way. And I guarantee you, if you'll prayerfully consider what I've showed you today and read it in that light, God will show you that's exactly how he wrote the book of Revelation. And you'll start to see it's not that difficult at all. God takes the church out in the beginning. Then he goes through the tribulation four times. And then he goes to the eternity of all things. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our beginning of our study. God, I know it was hurriedly and we went over a lot of material. God, I just pray that you'd help us all to take notes as we study. God, study our Bible the way we should, the way you've commanded us, God, and get enlightenment, Lord, on the prophecies that are to come. God, thank you, Lord, as we look at what John looked and how he looked and said the things which have come to pass. And God, he looked back through time and he saw everything that would go on in the church and he wrote it down. He wrote about those things that will be going on in the tribulation. And God, he wrote about the future. And God, I pray as we study these events, that God, they would stir our hearts up afresh and anew about your coming back for us. And God, that we'd live in such a way that we'd please you. And God, that we would work and strive to try to lead people to you, dear Lord, to deliver them out of that great wrath to come in the tribulation period. Help us as we study this book. Give us understanding, God, and we'll thank you for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer. Amen, man.